record, it is 20 minutes of 2. The House Judiciary Committee is in session. Today is April 9th, 2010.
No, in...
Representative Grunberg.
I thought we did in...
We have some chairs here for some of our Bush caucus members who may be joining us. So as a courtesy, we'd like to leave chairs in close proximity to the...
Meanwhile, I have a place to sit down.
In attendance are our friends Representative Lynn, Representative Grunberg, Representative Herod, Representative Ramirez, Representative Holmes, Representative Gatto. We have two pieces of business to take up today. One is Senate Bill 284. We will be taking public testimony and testimony from APOC and their attorney on the campaign disclosure. The first piece of business this afternoon will be Senate Bill 43, second verse, adding a second verse to the official Alaska state song. It's a privilege for us to have our good friend Senator Linda Menard in the room and many others who wish to testify on this piece of legislation. Senator, we're delighted to have you. If you want to come up and make a presentation with your staff or with whom you'd like to have, we are to set our table today. I'm going to ask Representative Herron in helping me to adopt the House CS for Senate Bill 43, the P version. Representative Herron.
Mr. Chairman, I move we adopt House CS for Senate Bill 43, P version.
Without objection, then we have the P as in Peter version before us. Members will note, and those that are with us in the room today, please, that in addition to having the archivist for the University of Alaska Foundation with us online and a letter in our packet, the P version incorporates the copyrighted version of the second verse of the Alaska state song. And I'm not sure whether the bill sponsor can take us through or whether we can have Jane Pearson on my staff or the archivist to take us through the different ways in which the second verse of the song has been accurately or inaccurately transcribed in the iterations in which it has come before the Alaska state legislature. But I can tell you that with great care, we now have adopted into the P as in Peter version, the version of the second verse of the Alaska state song as it was originally authored and copyrighted by Carol Berry Davis. And so I want to make sure that for those that are with us today as a preamble to the presentation by Senator Menard, that there is a clear understanding that there's no slight, there's no cultural offense meant to be issued. This is exactly as it was originally authored and copyrighted. And that is why we've invited the archivist to testify to that point, so that there is no question that we are not only being respectful culturally, but also respectful of the author of the second verse as well. So with that, Senator Menard, what a privilege to have you and Michael before our committee. The floor is yours, Senator, for as long as you are able to stay with us.
Thank you, Representative Ramos. I am Linda Menard, a Senate representing Senate District G, the Greater Palmer-Wasilla area, and I proudly bring this second verse of the Alaska flag song to you today for consideration. I want you to know that this isn't the first attempt that we've had. We have tried it passed a few years back out of the House with a very strong vote, and then it went to the Senate, and it reached at that point its stumbling block. This year it just seems to be the opposite, and I just want to go ahead and we'll see how this all plays out, but for me it's certainly noteworthy that I have spent hours and hours and hours trying to articulate why I feel that this is a necessary bill to go forward. So that, with your permission, I will go ahead and read my sponsor statement. Senate Bill 43 gives recognition to the Alaska Native community by adding a second verse to the Alaska flag song. This bill does not change the song, and I repeat that. It does not change the song, but simply adds to it, or I rather say complements it. Recently, the legislature passed House Joint Resolution 53, where one of your very members here at the table sponsored, urging Congress to pass a law designating the honor and remembrance flag to recognize the brave individuals who have sacrificed their lives while serving our country. This addition to the country's recognition of its troops is, in my opinion, like the second verse of the flag song. It doesn't change the history, but it complements it. We did not seek to delete the American flag in this situation, nor the POW flag, nor the Alaska state flag. In this situation, we only complemented it with a remembrance flag. Written at the urging of Native friends by the late Carol Beery Davis in one night when she was 95 years old, probably at an old typewriter, making mistakes, maybe leaving out a dash or a comma or not capitalizing the N or leaving it. We can't second guess that. The second verse, adds 12 lines and pays tribute to not only the aforementioned people, but also to the young lad who designed the flag, Benny Benson. Benson, of course, came up with the Big Dipper and the Northern Star against a dark blue background for our flag. As I mentioned previously, Fran Ulmer, who is the chancellor of the University of Alaska, has endorsed Senate Bill 43. She was the one that tried to carry it a few years ago. Ulmer, who introduced a similar bill when she was in the legislature, summed up a major intent of my legislation. The first verse, while a great piece of art, did not recognize the contributions of the Alaska Native people who Alaska Native people. Regardless of the capitalization of the letter in the N for Native, previous testimony and the content of the song makes it clear this verse was meant to honor the Native community and their contributions to our great state of Alaska. As Senator Albert Kuchas so eloquently put it when his bill was on the Senate floor, and I'm quoting here, "This is a little step, but it's recognizes a Native person who designed the Alaska flag. It recognizes a song that says there's no bars in our culture. That culture will be elevated." When it was first introduced in the 1980s, the bill sailed through the House, and I would just repeat myself, and we got certainly, stopped. It sailed through the House and it got stalled in the Senate. Some critics have said that they don't like this bill because they feel it changes history. But as I've argued before, this bill does not change history. It simply adds to it or complements it. Just as we have changed many things in the state in 1969, we have new state motto, 1983, a state marine mammal, 1998, state land, and so on. Now, with this bill's passage of the Senate this year, the second verse is close to being set in statute and formally recognized by the legislature. And as you see by the folks sitting behind me today, this is important to people. I know some of these wonderful Alaskans would like to speak on the bill today. So with that, in the interest of your time, Representative Ramos, Mr. Chairman, I would defer to them, and I would just hope that we have enough votes to certainly pass this out of committee to the floor for a vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Gatto.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. The sponsor was referencing me by no stretch of the imagination with the honor and remembrance flag. And just for clarity, the honor and remembrance flag does not add to the American flag by hanging on it, does not add to the Gold Star Mother's flag by hanging on it, does not add on to any flag by adding on to it, but the verse is adding on to something. And so there is a distinct difference, Mr. Chair, between offering a bill to add an additional flag isolated on its own, distinguished from every other flag, as opposed to taking a flag and saying, 50 stars for the U.S. flag? I bet you we could fit 52 in there, if not 60. We could do that, maybe another stripe, maybe another color. There is no corollary between changing a flag and adding a flag. It's different. And I am going to hold back a little bit here because I have some other things to issue, but I want to hear from the public first. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there other comments or questions for the bill sponsor?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Herron.
Senator Menard. Mr. Chairman, to the Senator, why did you introduce it? You. Why did you introduce this legislation?
On my personal level?
Yes.
Again, I was asked to introduce this. It was something I felt strong about. I have a minor in music, and I'm always involved in any kind of good music, and it is a tribute to the Native people that I feel it was left out. And and again, I've had good conversations with Fran Ulmer over it, and it was something that didn't get through, and I just thought maybe I'm the vehicle. And if that could be so, I would be more than happy to do it. It wasn't anything where I wanted my name on the bill, if that's where your reference was going. Or when I believe in something, and then I just feel like I can continue to press on, which this has certainly turned out to be. And I am not backing down because I still feel it's a good bill, and it's something that could be used by many musicians. If they were to make a tape because of the copyright, they would have to pay, like, say, $200. But then they have the ability, and people have come to me that are in the music field that would like that ability to not only just sing the first verse of the Alaska flag song, but the second verse as well.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Herron.
Thank you, Senator. I mean, that was what I was seeking for, and I don't believe that you're worried about pride of authorship on legislation. That's not what I was going to. But, you know, of course, the proposed legislation wishes to honor a young person by the name of Benny Benson. And so was there a contest for the flag?
Yes, there was, through the chair to Representative Herron. There was and I'm going to maybe turn this over to my staff person, Michael Rivito, who has put in, like I said, hours and hours of this. Go ahead.
For the record, Michael Rivito, staff of Senator Menard. Through the chair, Representative Herron, as I understand it, there was a contest to design the flag, and the short version was Benny Benson came up with the design that eventually won. And that's a short version of the story, that there was a contest to design the flag.
Was, Mike, was there a, Mr. Chairman, if I could, was there a contest for the first verse of the song by that was offered by Marie Drake?
Through the chair to Representative Herron, I'm not quite sure if I can answer that, but I know that there are folks here who could answer that question.
Thank you. And, Mr. Chairman, I'll just reserve questions for them.
Thank you. Are there questions for Michael? Michael, do you have any additional testimony that you wish to offer?
No, sir, I don't.
Any more questions for the bill sponsor, for Michael? Excellent. Senator, we're happy to have you sit with us for as long as you're able. There's a lot of activity going on in the building, and I believe that the Senate is convening this afternoon. So you're welcome to stay with us as you can, and we will look forward to shepherding a very vibrant dialogue this afternoon on the
thank
subject.
Thank you very much. And again, I thank each and every one of you. I truly do appreciate you hearing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. And Michael, I trust you'll stay with us here in the room.
Okay.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to go I'd like to go offline first to the archivist, Mr. David Woodley, and get his testimony. And then we have offline for us Mr. Bullard and Terry Bannister from Ledge Legal to assist us with questions that we may have. Then we have Lorraine Jossman, who would like to testify offline. And then here in the room, I only have one person listed who wishes to testify, so maybe we have people that are active in listening to the proceedings, but if there's anybody else who wishes to testify in here, if you would please sign up, we would be very grateful. So with that, if we could go to Mr. Woodley. Mr. Woodley, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Thank you. Mr. Woodley, members, there is a letter in your packet from the University of Alaska Foundation dated April 7th. I would direct you to the last full paragraph. It says, in order to protect the copyrights, the foundation asks that there be no alteration to the original texts and that a notation appear on all copies of the state song produced for public use, stating copyright University of Alaska Foundation, nonprofit use permitted, all other rights reserved. So as you turn to page 2 of the bill, lines 6 through line 17, that is the song as it was, or the second verse as it was written by the author, and whether there were grammatical errors or commas left out or words that should have been capitalized, or it was the intent of the author that they be capitalized and there was a failure at the typewriter, so be it. This is the verse that we have, perfect in its construction, perhaps imperfect in the intent of the author to express certain wishes that that are held by some folks that are in this room. But these do incorporate the changes in the P as in Peter version that is before us, along with section 2 of the CS, which says a copy of the Alaska's flag song produced for public use must have the following attribution and notice: copyright University of Alaska Foundation, nonprofit use permitted, all other rights reserved. So David, if you're with us, the question that I have for you is, if you will speak to the authenticity of this version of the song that appears in the P version of the CS, the bill before us.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for the committee for allowing this opportunity. The foundation has, the University of Alaska Foundation and the University of Alaska before us held the copyright of the second verse since 1986, at which time, from the United States Copyright Office, the documentation was provided, which is appears to me to be identical in text to the one that appears in the bill that's at issue today. Over the years, it's become pretty clear that a number of changes were made. Some of them were not really objectionable, you know, the capitalizations, the commas, and such things. But as time wore on, it looks like they became a little bit more serious alterations. And while our legal counsel at the University of Alaska tells us that it probably doesn't materially affect the copyright because the changes were, while significant, not enough to create what would be considered a new work of art, we still believe that it's our place as the beneficiary of this copyrighted song to preserve it in the form that was submitted to us as much as possible and as much as can be allowed. That's the short history of it. There's, of course, more to it. I'd be happy to answer any questions regarding any of these items surrounding the changes in the bill, or the changes in the song, rather.
Thank you, Mr. Woodley. Are there questions? Representative Gatto has a question for you. Mr. Woodley, I'll tell you that I don't know if you're watching gavel to gavel, but there are 40 very interested people here in the room, so we appreciate your commentary. Before I take Representative Gatto's question, would you just very quickly tell us your position and how long you've been serving as an archivist for the University of Alaska Foundation to add a little bit of context to your opinion, please?
Certainly. Again, I'm David Woodley, and my title with the University of Alaska Foundation is Executive Director of Advancement Services, and under that umbrella pretty much includes all forms of records available to the foundation, be they electronic or printed copy. I've been an employee of the foundation for 4 years, but with the University of Alaska 10 years before that. And previous to myself, a Mr. Scott Taylor was the archivist of the foundation, and he has been an employee of the foundation for ages before this. Mr. Taylor was not available to be here for this question session. Otherwise, I would have relied upon his historical experience, but he has taken great pains to reconstruct a full history of the University of Alaska and the foundation's experience with the state song.
Thank you. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is it Woodley? Is that the name?
Yes, Woodley. Yep. David Woodley.
Mr. Woodley, just by chance, absolutely not by design, intent, or planning, I found myself in the company of a patent attorney, and we were discussing inventions. But in the course of the discussion, we talked about how to essentially violate a patent. And it came down to not a comma, not a period, not even a space in any patented song could you simply change when it was already patented. So I'm a little curious if, as you say, this version is not the identical comma, period, letter, line to the original, is using this a patent violation since it incurs changes?
And again, not being an attorney, I can only state that in those cases where, well, over the years, as people have applied for use permits, copyright use permits for the song, and we eventually get back, you know, copies of what they've done, and we see, you know, little alterations here and there, we don't go after them stating that, hey, you violated the copyright. What we're looking for primarily is to preserve the intent of the work as a whole. And only in cases where the work has been used either for some farcical or comedic or other purpose that takes the lyrics of the song and tries to provoke something that wasn't intended by the original author, if we ever taken an aggressive stance on the lyrics and their use. Again, I would just state that the donor, Ms. Carol Beery Davis, gave us this, the second verse, and we feel it's our obligation to try and preserve it as copyrighted to the fullest extent possible.
Thank you, Mr. Woodley. We lost Representative Gatto for a few minutes, but I just want to make clear to those that are in the room, the version before us in the P as in Peter version is exactly the copyrighted version that the University of Alaska Foundation archivist is in possession of. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. So, you know, Dermot Cole is a columnist in my community with the Daily Newsminer, and he took us to task as this bill has meandered its way through the legislature, that it had been altered. And in fact, in defense of the sponsor, there are different versions of it floating around. And so when Jane Pearson and I endeavored to take up this bill, in the last standing committee, you know, of the second body, our intent was to make sure that we spoke to the archivist, to make sure that we had the original copyrighted document before us so that the committee could make an informed decision in that regard, and so we felt that was very important. So we are very pleased to have you comment on that with your expertise. Are there any other questions for Mr. Woodley? Mr. Woodley, I don't see any. You've been very valuable to us this afternoon. Thank you very much for your assistance in authenticating this song.
Happy to help anytime. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. What I'd like to do now is go to Darren Frieden, who is in the room. Darren, are you here? Darren, welcome. Yes, please. And we are so happy to have you here. If you will sit down and draw the microphone before you and introduce yourself with your first and last name. And it says citizen here, but if you're affiliated with any organization, you better say so. And no, I'm just joking here, if you have any affiliation, please offer it. We're happy to have you.
Mr. Chairman and committee members, for the record, my name is Darren Friday from CAKE. As an Alaskan, I would like to testify before you today in support of SB 43. You may have heard that the second verse doesn't flow along with the original verse of the Alaskan flag song, or that the proposed second version isn't singable with the melody, so that with the chair's permission, I would like to demonstrate before you today.
So you're prepared to sing the second verse, is that right?
Yes.
May I, as the chair, you get to enjoy special privileges here in the legislature. Because there is some contentiousness to the second verse, and I want to make sure that we all stay together, because everybody in here is an interested Alaskan. Some like the first verse, some like the first verse and the second verse. One of the guys who didn't like the second verse left the room. We do appreciate you singing the second verse, Darren. And what I would like to encourage the room to do, with Senator Menard's indulgence, is we all know the first verse. And I think it would actually be constructive if we all sang the first verse together. And then those who would like to sing along with Darren on the second verse, since you all have the P as in Peter version of the bill before us, are welcome to give it a shot. And it will be our own Alaskan idol here in the room. And then it appears to me, Representative Lynn Grunberg Heron Holmes, that we will be the judges of Alaskan Idol to some extent. So if we could start out with the first verse, of which there is, I assume, great unanimity in the room, and then Senator Menard will give it a shot here on the second verse. And Senator, do you want to come and help out, or are you very comfortable in the front row?
Very comfortable.
So Darren, with that, if you will begin with the first verse, please, and then we'll proceed.
Eight stars of gold on a field of blue, Alaska's flag made mean to you. The blue of the sea, the evening sky, the mountains, lakes, and the flowers nearby. The gold of the early sourdough juice, the precious gold of the hills and streams, the brilliant stars in the northern sky, the bird, the dipper, and shining high, the great north star with its steady light, over land and sea, a beacon bright. Alaska's flag to Alaskans dear, the simple flag of the last frontier. A native man chose the dipper stars, Alaska's flag, that there be no bars. Among our cultures, be it known,
Through years the medium's past has grown to share our treasures hand in hand to keep Alaska our great land. We love the northern midnight sky, the mountains, lakes, and the streams nearby. The great North Star with its steady light will guide all cultures clear and bright. With nature's flag to Alaskans dear, the simple flag of the last frontier.
Darren, does that conclude your testimony, or are you available for questions?
Do it again. Woo-hoo! Mr. Chairman, did he pass?
It was well done. We've been joined by Representative Millett. Do you wish to join us?
No, I sent one of
those notes. Oh, Zane, come on in. Well, it certainly works. There's a little question, Senator. We have somebody else who wishes to testify. Please come join us. Please. If you'll offer your name and any affiliation, please.
My name is Connie Davis, and I'm the daughter of Carol Beery Davis.
Yes, ma'am. Welcome.
And I've been giving a little history on the relationship of the song and the flag in my family. I'd like to say right off that Marie and my mother arrived in Juneau about the same time. And they became lifelong friends. And it was an exciting year by the time 1927 came along, when the flag was adopted by both the Awards Committee and the legislature. The final Awards Committee was appointed four people from the legislature and three Legionnaires. My father was on the final awards committee to choose the flag. Marie wrote the first verse with the school children in mind. She wanted them to have something that they might understand and be able to read. And I believe that she would be very much in favor of the second verse so that all children could read and understand. She would know today that it was important to add this. I think of it as not only being an addition, a compliment, but also it's in context with the times when the flag was adopted and when the first verse was written. By the way, the first verse, the flag was chosen by the Legionnaires, the Alaskan branch of the American Legion. The Commissioner of Education, his secretary was Marie Drake, and they arranged for all the Legion posts all throughout Alaska to monitor the flag contest. And the designs that were committed had a deadline by August 1st, and the Awards Committee voted on it that month. And then the legislature adopted it in May. Perhaps all of you know a little bit of this, but I thought it was interesting that was a very exciting year. And that's all I have to say today, unless you have some questions.
Thank you. We've been joined by two members of the Alaska State House, Representative Bryce Edgman and Representative Charisse Millett have joined us. And I am a native Alaskan, having been born and raised in Fairbanks, and I believe that Representative Holmes joins me in that distinction, and then Representative Edgman and Representative Millett and Representative Heron, I believe, are Alaska natives and native Alaskans. And so we want to handle this matter with an appropriate sensitivity to all Alaskans. To that end, we want to make sure that you're welcome to participate in the discussion today and the dialogue. I also want to read into the record a letter from the Association of Village Council Presidents from Myron Nanning. I always say his name wrong.
Nanning.
Nanning, who is on behalf of, says, "Dear Representative Herron, please pass on to the House Judiciary Committee that the Association of Village Council Presidents does not support the passing of Senate Bill 43 as it stands. Instead, we would rather support a competition open to the youth of Alaska for any new verses to the Alaska State Song. A competition open to youth would inspire all those to participate in creating a wonderful way to celebrate and honor the state of Alaska through song. We support the goal of including Alaska Natives in the proposed new verse, but feel that the words in the verse itself may be constructed in a more appropriate manner. Therefore, please consider our recommendation for a competition." Now, as a chair, I find this friction to be healthy for our state. So often, I find that the discussions that we have are regional, are urban versus rural, are South Central versus other parts of the state, are native versus non-native. And so I'm pleased that there isn't unanimity amongst various groups of Alaska Natives, and that there is a concern over this issue. I find it to be a sensitive discussion, but also a healthy one. Are there questions?
Well, I might wonder if a contest at this time would be in context with the time of 1927. Maybe it would end up in rap. I don't know.
Oh, my.
Also, a contest is expensive.
Yes, ma'am.
So, there...
Would you...
I'm wondering if I could say something.
Absolutely. If you'll come, but you need to come introduce, sit at the table and introduce yourself and your first and last name, any affiliation, and then you're welcome to comment.
Connie Monroe.
Welcome, Connie.
I'm a sourdough since 1971. When this was first discussed in the early 70s with Representative Alvin Osterbach of the Aleutian Chain and Frank Ferguson, Philip Guy, I think there were a few others, we had talked about a second verse because I wouldn't sing it unless all of us were included. You know, newcomers.
Yes.
And they said, okay, we should have a contest, blah, 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 blah. And then about 3 weeks later, I got a phone call, and they said that discussing this with our colleagues, with the Native Coalition, that they felt that they should not have a contest, that certainly they do not want to be known for being uncomfortable about just the sourdoughs being mentioned in their song, and that perhaps someday someone will write one as a gift to recognize all cultures. And prior to that, I had talked to Carol Bear Davis, who was a poet laureate, master in music, who published the first book of Kinnikit music that has been played all over the United States, and she agreed with them. She felt that maybe someday someone would do it. And so when she finally wrote it as a recognition at the age of 95 and stayed up all night and did it, she did it because she wanted to give this gift because no one else has come up with it. There was not a contest for the first verse. It happened that the commissioner's secretary was a poet. And so, therefore, she was asked to write something. It was later put by music by someone with someone else. And I don't see any reason why we should not accept this gift. It recognizes all cultures, my culture, your culture, and especially, finally, the first Alaskans who were here from thousands of years. And we are... we have survived and have adopted this wonderful place as our state when we finally got it. with the help of Alaska Natives. And I feel that they need to be in this song.
Thank you, Connie. We appreciate your passionate testimony. Are there questions for Connie? Connie, I don't see any questions. Is there anybody else in the audience that would like to testify on the second verse of the Alaska State Song? All right, let's go to Lorraine Hausman, who is on. Oh, okay, come on up. We'll go to Lorraine Hausman, though, online while we wait for you to approach. Lorraine, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you introduce yourself for the record, please?
My name is Lorraine Hausman, and I live in Anchorage. I was raised in Kodiak, and I'm calling today in regards to the proposal to add an additional verse to the Alaska Flag Song.
Thank you. If you would offer us your testimony, please, Lorraine, we're happy to have you.
Thank you. There's been a lot of representation of everyone, and I was really troubled with this, and I've testified before because it's so much a part of not only me but a lot of Alaskans that aren't getting to testify and aren't even probably aware. I do know that it was presented in 1987 and by Fran Ulmer when she was in the legislature. And at that time, she made the effort to check with a lot of different people and let them know what was proposed. And she received an overwhelming amount of no, don't change it, specifically from the Pioneers of Alaska, which are a combined group of all Alaskans, that they absolutely did not want to add anything to our beautiful Alaska song. I think that in the original song, it talks about Alaskans' deer, and I believe that includes all of us, those that were here, first Alaskans, sourdoughs that were digging out gold, and those that came not just for the gold, just came. And I believe the song describes the flag and the intent of Benny Benson, which is what all of us love. And I think we all have looked up in the sky and seen the Big Dipper and been touched by it, and that's what touched him and inspired him, besides the fact that he was excited about the contest and looking forward to Alaska becoming a state, and that's what his North Star represented in all his testimony. I really wanted to kind of have something from Benny Benson's own words, and I didn't, other than my memory of him and singing the song with him. And in doing some research, I found a couple things I would like to read. They're short, yep, and it won't take a lot of time, but I think it's important to kind of understand how important this song is to people that don't want to change it. And it's not a racist thing. It goes deep. It's deep in our history, and in our meaning as a Alaska people, all of us. Benny Benson was born in Chignik, and that's out on the Aleutian Islands on the Gulf side in 1913. And just before he turned 3, his mother died of pneumonia. And his father was a fisherman, and he was not making enough money to support 3 children. That would be his older sister and his younger brother. And with a heavy heart, he had to take him to the Jesse Lee Orphanage in Alaska. His father was from Sweden, and he had come to Alaska as a young man, as a fisherman. And his mother was Russian Aleut. Then he went to the Jesse Lee Orphanage and was embraced by loving people that he really admired. And then this was an article that was actually, it's not really an article, it's words from him that were recorded on tape by a neighbor of mine who put it in a book form, and it's a short book, but he took tapes that Benny had taped and documented his words, and I had never seen them before, and I just would like to read. There's so much more to the history and acceptance of this beautiful song at that time and today. And I'm going to read a part where he graduated from high school in Seward, because that's where he had moved with the Jesse Lee Holmes when they moved it from Unalaska. And that would have been in 1932. But he's recording this between the years of 1967, and before he died in 1972. He was getting ready to leave for college, or not for college, for a trip out, because he had reunited with his father out in Chignik, and this is his words. I had a hard time. I had a hard time holding back tears as I was leaving my brother Carly, my other buddies, and missionaries to go help my dad at his fox farm near Chignik. Excuse me. Try to get it together here, and to meet my stepmother, Annie, for the first time. Thinking back, I must say that the 16 years that I spent at the Jesse Lee home were some of the happiest years of my life, which may be hard for some to believe, especially with some of the tales told about storms at Unalaska. The mission taught me to love God and my neighbors, to respect my elders, and to care for others in need. He was a very giving person, humble, and everyone loved him. I can never express in words the gratitude I feel for the loving care given to my brother Carly and myself by those devoted Methodist missionaries. Whenever I hear the Alaska flag song with the words of the poem written by Marie Drake in 1927 and which were put to music by Eleanor Dusenberry in 1940, I get a tingle down my spine as memories of the Jesse Lee mission come to mind, especially of those times we sang together at the old piano or organ at Unalaska. It was in 1955 when I met Marie Drake in Seattle. And we were photographed together. She was a lovely person, and I carried that photo of us with me for many years. And then I'll read one more thing. And then in 1967, Benny came to Anchorage to the Alaska Native Hospital. He had had circulation problems in his legs for a long time, and he had had surgery, both on a foot surgery and a leg circulation problem, a second operation in 1962. In 1967, he came, and he didn't know for sure if he'd leave the hospital with a leg and a foot, but he was able, the doctors there were able to help him, and he was right up as soon as he was able, and going around the hospital and trying to help everybody else, because that's the way he was. He was always smiling and always friendly and a uniter. And this is an interview that the Anchorage Daily Times did with him as he was getting ready to leave the hospital. And this is just a portion of it, he had gone to the Kodiak community, or he had gone to a class thinking that maybe he'd take up art because he'd won this wonderful contest, and but he didn't do really good at art. And this is what he says. He said he tried art on for size via the adult evening class route in Kodiak, but lost interest almost immediately. It wasn't for me, he said. However, Benson works well with his hands and considers himself no slouch when it comes to designing small watercraft, skiffs, and things of that sort. Benson is proud of his flag, but reserves his out-and-out enthusiasm for the Alaska flag song. As a matter of fact, he thinks it can fit right up there comfortably next to America the Beautiful and the national anthem. Like the flag, it fits the state, he said. And I feel as it was good enough for him, and he was so proud of that song that there isn't anything that you can add to it that would honor him any more than what has already been done for him. He's very well honored. One other thing, he was a member of the Koniag Native Association in Kodiak. He was also a Kodiak Elk,
Lorraine.
Elk's Lodge there.
Lorraine?
And one other thing, he was also a member of the American Legion. And I would just like to, again, disagree with adding anything to this song.
Thank you for summarizing your testimony. Are there any questions for Lorraine? I don't see any around the table. Your comments are greatly appreciated, and I think that having this primer on Benny Benson and his intent is just helpful for centering all of us as we come to the last 8 or 9 days of the legislative session. And I want to draw us back to, however, Carol Beery Davis's interpretation. Dermot Cole wrote on about February 10th in his column in the Fairbanks Daily News Miner. He wrote, "This is what the 13-year-old Benson said of his simple design, chosen as a winner out of 142 entries." In quotes, "The blue field is for the Alaska sky and the forget-me-not, an Alaska flower. The North Star is for the future state of Alaska, the most northerly in the Union. The Dipper is for the Great Bear, symbolizing strength." And then Dermot Cole goes on to say, Davis applied her own interpretation about Benson's design, which differs from his. She opened her verse with the words, "A native lad chose the Dipper stars for Alaska's flag, that there be no bars among our cultures," close quote. In a legislative hearing on Tuesday, and this refers to the bill when it was going through the Senate side, our colleague, Senator Albert Kukesh, claimed that not adopting Davis's words would be a refusal to honor Benny Benson. And to quote Senator Kukesh in Dermot Cole's article, "If we don't want to recognize Benny Benson through the second verse, then the individuals who are going to be hurt are not the non-native people of the state, it's the native people of the state." Close quote. And then Dermot goes on to finish his article and has his opinion. So I'm just trying to read into the record kind of both sides as they sit. We've been rejoined by our colleague, Representative Gatto. We're now going to go back to testimony in the room. If you will introduce yourself for the record and offer us your testimony, any affiliation you have, please.
My name is Sikora Whiting. I'm the mayor of the Northwest Arctic Borough, and I'm really excited to hear the discussion going on today. And the reason I'm excited is when you think about Alaska, you think about the amazing diversity that we have within Alaska. When people come to the state of Alaska, they think about the cultures, the most enriching cultures that we have within our state. And I just want to take that time to celebrate the very rich culture that Alaska has. When you look at Alaska compared to the rest of the nation, people think about Alaska, they think about the Tlingit, the Haida, the Inupiaq, the Aleut. Everybody in Alaska, we have this amazing diversity of cultures. And I just want to take this opportunity to celebrate the amazing cultures that we have within the state of Alaska, and just to empower the people to just celebrate culture at this time, and I leave you to your decision. I support the original author of the song to celebrate the cultures that we have within the state of Alaska. And with that, I want to say arigateku, which means it is well, thank you. And we just want to close in celebrating the diversity that we have within this amazing state that we live in.
What a lovely hearing we're having today. I'll remind the room that you're welcome to stay for campaign disclosure, which we'll be taking up after the Alaska State Song. So with that, is there anyone else in the room who wishes to offer testimony on the CS for SB 43? Is there anybody else online who wishes to offer testimony? Yes, sir. Oh, please come. Please come forward. Welcome. If you will give us your first and
last. Thank you. I'm Cyril George, originally from Angoon, been living in Jonah for 30 years. I was born in Killisnoo in 1922. That makes me 87 years old. I just came in support of these bills. Glad to. I grew up hunting and spent up to a week on top of mountains with my dad. So when I look at the words to this song, I get a feeling that these words run pretty deep with the people that wrote them. Trying to tell other people why they fell in love with this land. I was taught, take good care of the land and it will always feed you. I'd pull a trap, my dad would stand there and watch me fix it, so get some fresh moss to fill it in, so I you learn to love the land. And as I look at these words, these people telling us about the beauty, moonlight, our stars. Love for our land. And it kind of throws me when they reject it. I am told being rejected because of native. You know, in growing up, I spent all my years in Sheldon Jackson, from grade school. And there, in reading about some of the great athletes that I admired so much. Oh, he's a native of Ohio. And I look at the, he's not an Indian. So it kind of confuses me in my old age when I am told that some things could. We have come a long way. I've seen a lot of changes in Juneau. We used to come to Juneau I used to ask my dad, how come those signs, whites only, the restaurants? Of course, in a village, you don't feel them. So I'd ask my dad, but he had a time trying to explain. My dad is the man that made friends with people. So I just wanted to say that I'm in favor. I think these are beautiful words. I'm always in awe of people that write a song, put words to it. Love songs, whether for another woman. And here, I know a lot of friends that have come to Alaska, not meaning to live here, but they fell in love with our land. I think we should keep working in that direction, that we make this the best state in the Union. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. George. Are you a Tlingit?
My hearing is just about gone.
I know you're a great elder. I said, are you a Tlingit?
Pardon?
Tlingit? From the Tlingit tribe? Yes?
They know.
You are 100%
Tlingit. Don't go away.
Mr. George, my seatmate in the State House is Representative Bill Thomas, and he gave me a Tlingit name this year. I asked him, I didn't like the first one, so it wasn't. it contains some profanity. It was very inappropriate. But the second name that he gave me was Eat Hit. He said it means bedroom house, because in the private sector, I'm in the hotel business. So it means a lot to us to have you here to come before our committee. Representative Gatto has a question for you. Can somebody maybe whisper the question into Mr. George's ear so he could hear it?
That's right. I'm going to speak loud. I really enjoyed listening to you.
She's going to talk me into coming.
You remind me of someone that I would say, I want to spend a few hours with my ears just hearing some of your stories.
But not now. We've got to do campaign disclosure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. George. Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to offer testimony? Can you help me? If you'll introduce yourself for the record, please.
George. I am 100% Tlingit. And ever since the land claims came about, the Tlingit and Haida, I have had to prove that I am 100%. So I have a card that says 4-4 Tlingit. That means my father is full-blood Tlingit, my mother is full-blood Tlingit. My mother comes from Auk Bay. There was a huge Native settlement there, and we were called Ogkwan. That is what I am. And we have a matrilineal society. That means things are inherited through the mother. The names, the arrangements, everything. However, my father comes from Sitka. And whenever I introduce myself, I honor my father. is out of respect. Not only respect, but a balance that is created by my parents. My mother personally knew Carol Beery Davis, and she adored Carol Beery Davis and her Carol's respect for the Native culture. So when my mother was leaving, she gave Carol Beery Davis a huge hand crocheted tablecloth. I don't know how long it took her to make it, but I know both of them. I knew Trevor Davis, and being a little girl, he looked like a giant. In my opinion, both of them were giants in their respect for the Native culture. We're not only recognizing Benny, as Carol was doing, but Carol Beery Davis herself.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your very compelling testimony. Thank you. Any questions? We thank you very much. Yes, sir, please join us. Welcome. If you'll introduce yourself for the record, please.
State of Alaska, Savaktoni, Lokari, Kuyahukif Siadiga, that not be the clearest you need, so Savakrak, Savakaf Sim, Kuyanak. There you go. Any questions? First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to say a little bit of what my thoughts are.
Would you just...
My name is Walter Sampson.
Thank you, Walter.
I'm from the Northwest region. I'm originally from Novik, Alaska. I grew up with my grandmother. I'm a combat veteran. And as just that, I feel that I thought it would be good for me to say a few words in regards to what is being discussed here. Certainly, Alaska is home to all of us. We've heard the testimony in regards to the diverse culture that we all come from. And it's certainly something that we all appreciate. There's times when a community, whether it be Huna on the chain or from down south here, whether it's Cordova, whether it's a community of Minto or a community of Atkasuk up north, is given an opportunity sometimes to have a say on some of the issues that is discussed at the state level. I guess I'm referring more so to when the federal system or the state system decides to rename a mountain or hill or whatever it may be, sometimes that opportunity is not there, even though we consider ourselves as Alaskans. The amendment that is being discussed here, I certainly support. If you look at the amended version, that the second verse that is being talked here, the first line talks about natives. We are all Native Alaskans. The third line that refers to cultures doesn't say culture, it says cultures. So that's diverse. The fourth line that refers to natives doesn't say native, it says natives. So we're all Native Alaskans. The 10th line that refers to cultures again refers to all of us. Alaska, Alaskans. We are all Alaskans. So what the amended version that we're referring to refers to all of us. We have diverse cultures, sure, but it represents all of us. And that's what I see that is written as an amended version. And again, I want to thank you for the opportunity. I didn't really have planned to come, but I heard what was happening, so I said, well, let's go down a peek, see what's happening. So,
Walter,
appreciate it.
We've been joined by Representative Berta Gardner is in the room. Welcome, Representative Gardner. Are there questions for Walter this afternoon? Walter, thank you very much for your compelling testimony.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the room who wishes to testify on SB 43? Nobody else online? So seeing none, so I'm going to close public testimony. I want to thank all the people in this room for really recentering us. You know, we get a little spun up here with 8 or 9 days to go, a lot of pressure in the building, a lot of very pressing issues, and I know that when I reflect back on the last week of the days of this legislative session, I probably won't reflect so much on campaign disclosure as when we had a hearing on the second verse of the Alaska state song. It's really left an indelible impression on me, and I want to thank Representative Lynn for the proper protocol and for standing so that we all could sing both the first and second verse together. And Walter, we want to thank you for your service to our country, as well as for your testimony today. I'd like to bring the discussion at this time back to our committee. Representative Lynn?
I just want to make the point on standing for the Alaska song. As a military veteran, I've lived all over the country, heard lots of state songs, some better. We had the best one here.
Sir.
But the Alaska flag song is really an anthem up here, and I don't recall any other states in which the citizens of that state stand when their state song is sung, if they even have a state song. Most I can think of is California, Here I Come, and it certainly wasn't a state song, but nobody stood for it that I recall. So, I mean, it's really on a par with the national anthem, it seems like to me, because people do give it special respect here that's not given in any of the other states that I'm aware of.
Thank you, Representative Lynn. Any comments of Representative Gatto?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Walter really hit on a solid point. The mountain's name was Denali, and then some dude got his name in place of Denali, and that was McKinley. Never been to the state, but it was other people that said, we're going to change the name, the original name. Now, here's the question. If indeed you wanted to get Denali back as the name of the mountain, would you be willing and think it is credible to call it Denali McKinley? Or would you want to simply say, we're going to go with our history? The name of the mountain was Denali. We want that name back, and we're not ready to change it according to anyone else's wish. I have to say, Mr. Chair, I hope I'm not the only one in here that treasures history. I think that the Alaska song and the Alaska insect and the Alaska flag and the Alaska mammal and the Alaska bird are what they are. And if somebody says, let's add another one, I think everybody here probably knows the Alaska insect. That's a trick question.
A mosquito?
No, sir. It's the four-spotted dragonfly. And I'm okay that it's not the five-spotted dragonfly. And we shouldn't add another dragonfly or a second insect. We shouldn't add a second flag. How about 9 stars of gold on a field of yellow and blue? We don't want to do that. We want to retain the history. Otherwise, it's not history. It is simply an updated version of a song. And I'm a no vote here. Not because I don't like people or I object to things. I am for history. That's what I want to preserve for this state. And the only way to do that and prevent some other history from being changed is to stand pat and say, I like the song. Everybody can sing the first verse. Nobody's very good at the second verse. And we don't have a second verse yet. And I'm here to protect the first verse. Because as soon as you add something, you don't have a first verse anymore. You have a changed song. Now, let me just finish with this. Anybody who wants to sing this other verse can. You want to sing the first verse? Follow it with the second verse. There's no statute that says you can't do that. You can sing all of, you can add third verse if you want. So if you say, well, we want to sing the second verse, it's okay. It's okay. This is not that. This is a change to your history that I'm here to protect. That's how I feel. You can call me an idiot if you want, but that's my true feeling, that I'm here to protect the history. Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Oh my. Ladies, just stand by. Stand by, ladies.
It's closed.
Public testimony has been closed. Let me explain to you how our committee process works so that those in the room can understand. We can adopt a motion to move the bill, and when it's adopted, if somebody objects, then there's a roll call. And then a roll call can be whether the bill should be advanced to either the next committee or to the floor. In this case, this bill has been through the Senate. That's why it says SB 43. It's a Senate bill. And when it says CS for SB 43, it means a committee substitute. So what the motion that we did today by doing a judiciary committee substitute is we were careful, with the help of the University of Alaska Foundation archivist, to adopt the original language of Carol Beery Davis's song. And so we have that before us now in the House Judiciary Substitute. So as we conclude public testimony today, and as we conclude the discussion here in the committee today, the chair will ask someone to make a motion to move the bill from committee. If somebody objects, then we would have a vote. And the yes votes or the no votes would be to advance the bill from this committee toward the floor of the Alaska State House. Now, this bill does not have a fiscal note, so it does not have another committee of referral other than to go to the Rules Committee, where it would then be debated whether it should be scheduled or not for the House floor. So at this point, I would ask our visitors, Representative Millett or Representative Edgman, if they have any remarks that they would care to make, and then we would bring it back to the committee for final discussion, and then I will ask for a motion to move this piece of legislation. Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the privilege of being able to sit in. I was down the hallway at yet another oil and gas committee bill, and I'm pleased that I could be here instead to be discussing really what, you know, it's a very meaningful issue because in my view, and let me just sort of slow down here for a second and introduce myself. I'm born and raised in Dillingham. I grew up in a Native household. I am a singer, a songwriter. I've studied the craft for many, many years. I consider myself a fairly accomplished musician, and so on and so forth, so I know the craft quite well. And I also know Alaska Native issues quite well. And as I sit in here, the testimony, and most of it heartfelt, most of it coming from people who are Alaska Natives, and certainly people who have lived and certainly dyed the culture, if you will, that this whole subject of adding a second verse to the Alaska flag song in some ways has risen above the mere act of just extending the length of the song itself and putting a second verse into the song. And I want to be real careful to sort of caution anybody, at least from this legislative point of view, in characterizing this piece of legislation as, number one, either being pro-Native or anti-Native or civil rights or this or that, urban or rural or whatever, because it shouldn't be, Mr. Chairman. And if we are, in fact, to amend the Alaska Native Song, you know, I think, and I'm going to get to my point here.
Take your time.
Turning to the AVCP letter, that we really should, in a way, do it that the Native community as a whole embraces. Now, as one member mentioned earlier, it's not against the law to sing the second verse. And I hear the second verse sang frequently when I'm down here in Southeast. But I can tell you, I've never once, ever in Southwest Alaska heard anybody bring this up to me. And I'm born and raised in Southwest Alaska, and I've traveled that region, you know, most of my nearly 50 years. So in my estimation, I have talked to the bill sponsor. She knows how I feel about the subject. I'm not coming out sort of unexpectedly with my position on this legislation. I would support, again, I'm Alaska Native. I've got a background in music. I've looked at the additional verse. There's some parts of it I'm not comfortable with in terms of multi-syllable words and the enunciation and the metering and things like this that a good songwriter looks at in terms of fitting words to music. And Mr. Chairman, I would say that you know, maybe given that this is a larger issue, it should transcend Southeast Alaska or any part of Alaska and become a statewide issue. And really, if we want to rewrite the second verse, and with the greatest respect to Carol Berry Davis and any of her family members who might be in the audience, and to certain of you as my fellow Alaska Natives, you know, we should do it in a way that I think exemplifies Alaska Natives, the position that they are, where they have gotten to in the state. You know, you look around the regional corporation model, for example. Five of the top performing corporations in the state last year were regional corporations. One of them was mine, the number two corporation in the state, the Bristol Bay Native Corporation. You look at where the prominence of Alaska Natives, you could always argue that, that the Alaska Natives really haven't gotten their due in terms of their standing statewide Alaska. I'm not going to agree or disagree with that point of view, but I'm very, very proud of my heritage. I'm very proud of actually what, you know, of Benny Benson's work. I think the song itself, the verse, if you read it, does commemorate Mr. Benson's design for the Alaska flag. And I'm very comfortable with the first verse. I'm not saying that I oppose adding a second verse, but I'm more supportive if we're going to do it. Let's do it in a way that brings in the Alaska community, Alaska community, both Native and non-Native. Let's bring it to a statewide level, whether it be a contest or some other mechanism. And Mr. Chairman, I'll close by saying that I appreciate this discussion. I would hope whatever happens with this bill, whether it passes or not, that you know, that any sort of hard feelings go away, because there shouldn't be any. We're all sort of one state. We're all you know, we're all Alaskans. And I'll close by saying I once again appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
You're very welcome. Your remarks are greatly appreciated. Representative Millett.
Thank you, Chairman, for allowing me to be present. I'm also proud of my heritage. I grew up with a grandmother who was half Inupiaq in Fairbanks, and I've spent time with my Native family, and I've spent time with my non-Native family, and I have never seen such a discussion about an issue. I would think that people would be discussing other things like income tax or
campaign disclosure,
but it really touches a chord with folks when you talk about the Alaska State flag song. And I've spent a lot of time, Representative Edgman and I have spent a lot of time traveling across Alaska speaking to all Alaskans, no matter what culture they are from or what they region they're from. And it's amazing to me that we are here today discussing a song that in itself, a verse that wasn't meant to be divisive, that I think has become a divisive issue among some folks, especially ones that have some strong feelings, like Representative Gatto does, about history. And I too sat back, and as I listened to the very compelling testimony from folks and thought about one thing, What would Benny Benson think of us changing the lyrics that he wrote for the flag song? It was heartfelt. It was...
He designed the flag. Murray Drake.
That's right. I was thinking Benny Benson and Murray Drake. But what would the author think about us changing the language of the song? And I thought, well, you know, the state has evolved. The state has grown. The state has changed. And but I go back to what the mayor said. You know, we all need to honor culture. We all need to honor each other. We need to understand that not only Alaska Natives have come to Alaska, there's a lot of other cultures that have moved to Alaska and called Alaska home. And I think while Alaska Natives have really come a long way and fought for rights and fought for land and fought for subsistence, there's also been a lot of healing that's gone on in our state. And I think that I think the song is perfect. While I respect your family and their efforts to recognize Native Alaskans, I don't think that they're not recognized and they're not acknowledged in the song that we have. So with that, all due respect to what this legislation is trying to do and the sponsor is trying to do, I think it's raised the dialogue in our state to a level that where it should be. We should all be talking about culture and about respect and about honoring each other. And with that, thank you for allowing me to come in.
Thank you, Representative Millett. And I would encourage both of you to find on your schedule when the 27th legislature convenes the opportunity to serve on the Judiciary Committee. I think you're bring a wisdom to the table, and we're grateful for your insight. With that, are there other comments from members of the Judiciary Committee? Representative Holmes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I share your comments from earlier. This has been a fascinating last hour and a half or so in the House Judiciary Committee. I'm not sure that it's entirely what we thought we were walking into today, but I particularly enjoyed the rousing sing-along.
It
really got my blood pumping, Mr. Chairman. this is clearly a heartfelt issue on both sides, and I've been listening very intently, as I had not been as steeped in this up until today. And I think because of the all the interesting views, I would like to see this bill move forward, Mr. Chairman. I would like to see this bill actually get a chance to be discussed on the House floor and discussed by all the members of our body. And so for that reason, Mr. Chairman, I would like to see our committee pass the bill out of committee and give an opportunity for all of us to discuss it.
Thank you, Representative Holmes. Are there other comments from members of the committee? Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As a relative newcomer of 40 years to the state, and a person who was on the floor when the bill was passed the first time by the House, some 20 years ago, roughly, I voted for it then, and I plan to vote for it again, and I'm happy to move it if the chair would like. I think we need to come together as Alaskans, and anything we can do to do that is important. And you know, most of the things that bring us together can be argued in a negative way to drive us apart. It's like whether the glass is half full or half empty. I'll use the bottle here as an example.
Get your hand off the bottle.
And you know, if we keep laughing together and we cry together and we work together and we succeed and we fail together, then we're one people. And I hope this will do it. Help. It'll help.
Thank you. Other remarks? I also have a certain ambivalence that was... anyway, Very, very interesting issue. At this point, the chair would entertain a motion on the House CS for Senate Bill number 43. Representative Grunberg.
I move the House CS for Senate Bill 43, Judiciary, the P as in Papa version, 4610, with accompanying fiscal note zero and individual recommendations to the next committee of referral, which should be the Rules Committee for scheduling on the floor.
Is there an objection?
No.
Representative Gatto objects. Susan, would you take the roll, please? And again, for the folks that are out there, this is to advance the bill to its next committee of referral, or in this case, to the floor. Susan?
Representative Gatto.
No.
Representative Lynn.
Yes.
Representative Grunberg.
Yes.
Representative Holmes.
Yes.
Representative Dahlstrom is not present. Representative Herron.
Yes.
Representative Ramers.
Yes.
Five yes, one no, Mr. Chairman.
So with a vote of 5-1, the bill advances moves from committee.
Taking
it ease? We were taking it ease, yes. It's 10 minutes past 3. We've lost Representative Lynn, and we are going to lose Representative Holmes shortly. I do want to begin discussing Senate Bill 284, campaign disclosure. We got thrown off our game a little bit here, I think in an appropriate way. I think when we reflect back, we will all remember the rousing debate on the Alaska State Song, I want to.
But you were on key though. You were in key.
Thank you, Representative.
I was going to say that. I think the person who keeps the flag, the state seal, rather, ought to keep the state seal.
Mr. Patasin, you sang well.
Thank you.
Sang well, especially for a member of our legal community. So, our
Mr.
plan.
Mr. Chairman, better than the members of the committee or members of the legal community.
Exactly. So, our plan today is to pepper Mr. Patasin with some questions. Cindy Smith is in the room. We are going to take up this bill tomorrow at 10 a.m. We're due on the floor at 1 p.m. I've spoken to Senator French, and I told him that I thought that this hearing would bleed over into Monday. His request, because of the calendar, is that we try and conclude amendments tomorrow on Saturday. So, provided that there aren't other intrusions on the day, we will probably begin tomorrow at 10, take a break at 12, so that members can get a lunch break. And then convene very likely at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and we'll decide so on the floor during at ease. We'll make sure it's a convenient time for members, but I would assume either 4 or 5. The chair's preference would be 4, so that we can try and, Jane, does that work for us at 4 o'clock as well as at 5, so that we can not go past the dinner hour?
Mr. Chairman, I think 5 o'clock.
There are other meetings, so 5 o'clock will be the time at which we take it up, and then depending on how we do, we'll either pass the bill from committee on Saturday, or members should be prepared, I think, for a Sunday meeting, so that we can wind up this piece of legislation. It's sticky. We want to make sure that it stays. If it's going to stay sticky, it stays that way because of the subject matter. And not because of the deliberation of this Judiciary Committee. And that's an assurance that I've given to our counterpart on the Senate side, and it's important to me to uphold that. So with that, we'd like to welcome Senator French into the room. It's a pleasure. Senator Cindy, we'll catch you up on our schedule, but we're going to do our best to honor my commitment to you that we would move this bill out over the weekend. We will convene from 10 until 12, and then from 5 until 7. And if necessary, we'll have a Sunday meeting to move the bill so that we stay on a schedule, and its content should be the sticky part of the bill, not its deliberation through the House Judiciary Committee. So you have our word on that. So with that, we have Mr. Patasin before us. This subject matter is important enough that if we begin to lose members, if we begin to lose Representative Lynn and Representative Holmes, then we probably will adjourn for the day. And then take things up on Saturday. We would like to prevail upon you, Mr. Patasin, to be available in the room because it's the counsel that we enjoy is always so much more valuable, and this will be our only piece of business before us until we adjourn now, and we thank you for your patience with us. And again, we want to recognize what a fine rendition you did of both the first and second verse of the Alaska State Song.
I'd like to note, I'm sure my colleagues will agree after they see it on the gavel to gavel.
Mr. Potaskin, we hope that your colleagues make a YouTube of it and play it over and over and over on the APOC website. So with that, we would like to invite you to make any remarks that you have, and then I will ask members to any questions that they have. And then we also have Holly Hill, the executive director of APOC, online to speak, and Chuck Dunnigan and Jason Bruni, as well. So we'll go to Mr. Potaskin, please.
Thanks, and I'll be brief today. You know, we can talk a lot of them. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions. I can get to those in more detail tomorrow as well. But the parameters are now that given Citizens United, our law is that our position at the Department of Law is that Alaska's expenditure restrictions on corporations, labor unions, other entities is likely unconstitutional. If challenged at this point, there are still some limited disclosure and disclaimer laws that apply for a corporation, labor union, or other entity to challenge the constitutionality of our laws. Given the constitutional issues here, given the parameters of the decision, Senate Bill 284 does a lot what we addressed in the memo, and that was to take a fresh look at disclaimer and disclosure laws as they currently exist, and to contemplate changing the law with respect to restricting expenditures and candidate elections by corporations and labor unions. Given that, you know, disclaimer and disclosure laws are still subject to a certain level of scrutiny, and those laws, there are significant reasons why a state would want to pass laws for disclosure and disclaimer. They uncover hidden interests. They deter reporting violations. Citizens United itself didn't take a strong position with respect to disclaimer and disclosure laws. Given that, disclaimer and disclosure laws still need to show that they're only modestly burdening free speech rights of these entities that are now potentially players in candidate elections and making independent expenditures. With that, we also remarked in the Attorney General memo about the foreign national issues, and certainly ready to take questions on that. So with that, that's the current status, and I'll take specific questions, obviously, about Senate Bill 284 and how APOC and APOC staff intend to enforce that law were it to be in place, and any other amendments or any other issues that are before the committee.
Questions from members for Mr. Potaskin. I'm certain that we're going to have some. What I'd like to do is just capture those that may have waited for public testimony. I want to go to Chuck Dunnigan with the RDC, and then Jason Bruni, and then Holly Hill, and then we'll come back to Mr. Potaskin. Chuck, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Would you offer us your testimony? We are running behind, so as concise as you can be would be appreciated by the committee.
I'll be very, very, very brief and to the point. My comments have to do with Section 10, which is on page 5 of the bill that I'm looking at. This is the one that has deals with expenditures and contributions by foreign nationals. The general rule that this sets up is that foreign nationals may not make contributions or expenditures in state elections. This general rule directly directly tracks current federal law. However, at the bottom of this section in part B5, starting on line 29, there's a section about domestic subsidiaries, and it says if you are a domestic subsidiary or a domestic corporation controlled by a foreign national, that you may not make a contribution or an expenditure in an election. And just want to run through about, and I will bullet point these problems for further discussion at the committee level, but there are a number of very serious problems. One is First Amendment. The Citizens United case, which this is supposedly about, this bill, ruled that businesses incorporated in the U.S. have a First Amendment right to make independent expenditures for electioneering communications. This section, by saying domestic subsidiaries or domestic corporations, we're talking about U.S. corporations, it creates a class of U.S. corporations that no longer have First Amendment rights in Alaska elections. In other words, this is directly contrary to the ruling in the case of Citizens United. Next, due process and equal protection. You've got to remember that contributions and direct and indirect contributions by foreign nationals are already illegal in state elections under federal law. What this little section at the bottom does is it adds a new class of persons who are going to be discriminated against in Alaska elections.
Hey, Chuck.
These are domestic subsidiaries and domestic corporations controlled by foreign nationals.
Hey, Chuck?
Yes.
Just some brief housekeeping. Would you please introduce yourself and any affiliation you have just for the record so Susan can get it recorded?
You bet. My introduction was correct. I am Charles Dunnigan, and I'm here representing the Resource Development Council of Alaska, Inc.
Thank you very much. All right. So what we're covering here on the bottom of page 5 is the issue that I brought up when we last convened, which is taxation without representation. Is that correct? Is that a fair way to condense your thought?
No. I don't mean to be impolite or abrupt, but no, sir. What is happening is I guess now that I think about it, I suppose you could put it that way. I hadn't been thinking of it in those terms, but what they're doing is they're taking a limited numbers of domestic subsidiaries and American corporations, and whereas Citizens United gives them, you would think, the right to participate in elections, this section takes them out. And the general thinking behind a rule like this would be you want to keep certain foreign nationals from making direct or indirect contributions. The problem is that's already illegal. You don't need to create a rule for domestic subsidiaries and domestic corporations to prevent direct and indirect contributions by foreign nationals because you've already got that. This is new. This is different. This is in addition. And so you've got First Amendment problems. You've got due process and equal protection problems. And there's a couple of drafting issues that I want to invite your attention to. First, when you look at how a domestic subsidiary is defined in this bill, you'll see it says, 2 through 4, back up the page. Noticeably absent here is individual foreign nationals. In other words, the way this thing is written now, if you are an individual foreign national, Rupert Murdoch, for example, and your media empire is wholly owned, this domestic subsidiary rule doesn't apply to you. But if you're an Alaskan and you've tried to raise money through public sale of stock and it just happens that your company is bought primarily 51% by Canadian, Japanese, and European interests, you are covered by this and you've lost your First Amendment right to participate in the Alaskan political landscape. I think that's a very serious problem, and that sort of takes us to the last problem, which is just the general commerce issue. Issuing publicly traded stock is how American business raises money. If you're going to change the playing field for foreign investors, you really need to think about it because it makes a difference in whether or not they're going to buy, and here, whether they're going to buy Alaskan. I will also mention that I've seen a preemption memo that's been circulated by, I believe, Alaska Legal Services, raises the question of, does Alaska even have the right to pass a different law on the same subject that's already covered by a fairly extensive federal law, and which is also backed up by federal regulations. I won't go into that, but it's about a 3 or 4 page memo, and it measures some very good issues. But I know we're in a hurry, but I just want to sum up and just say that in light of these issues, and these are not, I've tried to speak in layman's terms and in a way that will compel the committee members to see that these aren't highly technical, hard-to-reach arguments. This is a very badly drafted piece of legislation in this part. If you'll look on the next page at subsection C, there's this provision that says this section prohibits conduct only to the extent that federal law prohibits the same conduct. That's in essence what it says. Well, B-5 that we've been talking about is a rule that isn't in federal law. So one way of looking at this is that Section C nullifies B-5. And the problem with that, of course, is that the courts don't like to interpret legislation as nullifying itself. So once this goes to court, and by the way, I think this section is a complete litigation magnet. There's no question this is going to court if it's been passed. But once it goes to court, we have no idea what the court's going to say it really means, because it almost by definition can't mean what it says. So this is a bad legislation. It is dangerous legislation. And I will say that I, for the life of me, cannot see how this provision has anything to do with disclaimer or disclosure rules. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is precisely what we discussed, and remains the overarching concern of the chair, which is disclosure versus discourse. And I'm very interested in disclosure, but I'm not interested in participating in limiting discourse. And so perhaps that's better put, Mr. Dunnigan, than suggesting it's taxation without representation. What it does is it limits discourse. And, of course, I'm thinking that these domestic subsidiaries are taxpayers in the state of Alaska, generally speaking. Are there any questions for Mr. Dunnigan?
Yes.
Representative Gruenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dunnigan, you were going very fast, and my brain is going very slow.
I would differ, Representative Gruenberg.
You have concerned about subsection 5 at the bottom of page 5. Does your concern relate to the entire section 10 or simply to subsection 5?
Representative Gruenberg, it actually does both. And let me just say, I think the entire section 10 is problematic because this section is, without section 5 at the bottom of the page, what this really does is parrots existing law. Existing federal law prevents foreign nationals from making direct or indirect contributions in state elections. So, A, I don't know that it's necessary. B, it may be preempted. I mean, there's all kinds of problems with this. And, again, it's not clear to me that this isn't required by the Citizens United decision. So there is an overall concern. A more direct and more pressing concern is in Section 5 at the bottom of the page. Section 5 at the bottom of the page is a mess, and it's clearly unconstitutional.
May I follow up, please?
Representative Gruenberg.
I'd like to focus first on Section 5. And I would ask you, Mr. Dunnigan, in your research on behalf of the people you represent, your clients, are you aware of any other jurisdiction that has enacted a section like subsection 5? And if so, are you aware of the outcome of any court challenges on it?
No and no.
Okay. With respect, if I may please, with respect to section 10 as a whole, forgetting subsection 5 now, let's say there is no subsection 5 for the purpose of this question. That is, I understand from what you're saying, very similar to federal law. So there is federal precedent on that, apparently. Am I correct, sir?
Yes, you are.
Secondly, are there any other jurisdictions that have enacted, other states that have enacted state laws like the rest of Section 10?
That I could not tell you.
Third, are there any court cases that have dealt with any potential challenges, constitutional or otherwise, to the federal equivalent?
It doesn't appear so. There are a number of law review articles on this, but the actual reported cases are pretty thin.
Are you aware of any pending litigation?
No, sir.
At the appropriate time, I'll ask Mr. Patas and anybody else if their answers would differ from Mr. Dunnigan's. But just one final question, Mr. Chair. Are you aware of, are you concerned about any other provision in the bill, and I'm talking about the Senate finance, yes, the P version, or is this, are you confining your concerns about the bill simply to Section 10, specifically subsection 5 at the bottom of page 5?
I'm confining my comments to Section 10 specifically. Yes.
And I guess I do have one more question, Mr. Chair. It seems to me that at least one potential reason for the inclusion of subsection 5, in my mind, not having been the drafter or a drafter of this, would be to prevent a foreign national that would be precluded from contributing, from simply forming a domestic subsidiary to get around the law. And it seems to me that there is a an old equity maxim that says the law will not permit something to be done indirectly that could not be done directly. Isn't this a valid state purpose to prevent somebody from setting up a shell domestic corporation to evade the general prohibition? Wouldn't that be a valid state purpose?
If it were done differently, I would have to agree with you. I think it absolutely is. The problem with this is that the way this is worded, and also when they left out individual foreign nationals with coverage, Representative Gruenberg, I really have to wonder what the agenda was when this was put down here, because and the other part of this is that with the Citizens United case, it gets very, very dicey in terms of, you know, how many corporate levels and so on. I mean, this is really a very, very difficult question, and you don't have much in the way of definitions. We, as we've said earlier, we don't have we have almost nothing in the way of court guidance and so on. Yes, I think direct and indirect contributions are illegal, and there's no from foreign nationals, and there's no case authority or really any authority to say that that is not so. But when you talk about domestic subsidiaries and say, well, this is another way of getting at indirect contributions, I really have to go back and say, well, wait a minute, indirect contributions are already illegal. This is something new and something a little bit different. And when you look at the problems that this creates in terms of commerce, if I want to create a fish processing business, I have to keep foreign nationals from buying 51% of the stock, the sale of which I'm trying to raise money to set up the business. There are lots of problems with this that I really haven't been worked through. And I think it goes way beyond what's necessary to protect Alaska from inappropriate influence by foreign nationals.
Mr. Chair, if I may, one.
Yes, Representative Gruenberg.
I don't think anything prohibits you from setting up your processor. It only prohibits the processor from making a political contribution. I mean, and if that's the reason, and the only reason you're establishing the domestic subsidiary, well, maybe that would be a sham, wouldn't you agree?
Well, actually, no, and let me be clear about this. If you read this, it talks about domestic corporations controlled by a foreign entity. And so what I think we've got here is if I set up a fish processing company and let's say foreign interests buy 51% of the stock, and then foreign interests elect, let's pick George W. Bush and Bill Clinton. They put them on my board of directors, and then we get involved in a question of public policy about fisheries. And I want to get involved in make independent expenditures for a ballot proposition that's coming up. If Bill Clinton and George Bush are involved in the selection or direction of that effort, I have violated this law. And this is really, I think, the area of concern, is that all that I've really done is set up a corporation. I've publicly traded the stock. There have been a lawful vote. I mean, you go through all these lawful procedures, and you wind up with a violation, and I think that's why it's fairly easy to say that as a general rule and without any more thought and concern to how this thing is drafted, I have no question that this is a First Amendment violation and a violation of the Citizens United case.
Thank you, Representative Gruenberg. Thank you, Mr. Dunnigan. We're going to take testimony from Jason Bruni. Then we're going to adjourn for the day. We are going to leave the first half hour of tomorrow open.
Get called back.
back, let me know.
Open for any public testimony from 10 until 10:30, and then if we're not overwhelmed, we'll close public testimony and work with Mr. Patassin and APOC here in the room. Jason Bruni, are you with us?
Thank you, Chairman Ramirez and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jason Bruni, and I'm the Executive Director of the Resource Development Council. I appreciate the opportunity today to testify regarding SB 284. RDC and its members have been intimately engaged in initiatives over the years. A few examples from recent history include the Cruise Ship Head Tax Initiative, the Gas Reserves Initiative, and the Clean Water Initiative. The industries that were targeted by these initiatives have spent billions of dollars investing in the state. Each industry employs hardworking Alaskans, and each pays significant taxes to the state treasury. Be it fishing, tourism, oil and gas, or mining, RDC members have a vested interest in defending their investments. By doing business in Alaska, these businesses have demonstrated that they have a dog in any initiative fight, and they should be allowed to participate in the process. However, Section 15.13.068, found on pages 5 and 6, appears to potentially impact an investor's ability to fight an initiative that targets them because they are a domestic subsidiary of a foreign corporation. In the hearing before Senate Finance, Senator Huggins requested clarification from Ledge Legal on this issue. To this query, Ledge Legal replied, and I quote, "This section only applies to a domestic subsidiary to the extent that a foreign national is making the decision or financing that domestic subsidiary's involvement in a state election. It does not prohibit domestic subsidiaries or domestic corporations with foreign parents from involving themselves in state elections if they're using money that was made in the state, made in the United States, and the decision to spend that money is made by American nationals." End quote. This response raised even more questions in my mind. I'll bring up a few specific examples. ConocoPhillips Alaska is an American company making money in the state and in the U.S., but their new president is a native of Norway. Would Ledge Legal's response preclude ConocoPhillips Alaska from defending itself against an initiative if he makes the decision to spend the money? How about Shell or BP, both of which are foreign companies which have operations in Alaska, one of which is making money in the state, the other which is spending money, but is making money elsewhere in the United States? Who ultimately makes the decision to spend money to defend themselves against initiatives within their companies? What about cruise companies such as Carnival, which owns Holland America and Westmark Hotels? How about mining companies? Some, such as Kinross, which owns the Fort Knox Mine in Fairbanks, or Teck, which partners with Nana on the Red Dog Mine near Kotzebue. Both are Canadian companies, and indeed, they are making money in Alaska. Finally, what about mining companies that are investing hundreds of millions of dollars in Alaska in exploration, such as Anglo American, but they are not making any money either in Alaska or the United States? Are you telling me that they can spend hundreds of millions of dollars employing hardworking Alaskans, but they can't defend themselves against an initiative that targets them? For the record, each of the, quote, foreign companies I've previously mentioned, BP, Shell, Anglo American, Teck, Kinross, Carnival, and many more foreign companies, are owned within the portfolios of our own permanent fund. Finally, each of these companies helps fund my organization, the Resource Development Council. How would my organization or similar organizations be allowed to participate in elections if they receive contributions from such companies? The language of this bill should be clear and not raise questions like I've brought up. I urge the committee to clarify the language or delete this section entirely. In conclusion, RDC supports open discourse, open disclosure and transparency in election campaigns. However, we are very much opposed to any law that would prohibit contributions allowing RDC members to fight initiatives that target their industries. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Jason. And there we are again at the crossroads of disclosure versus discourse. Are there questions for Mr. Bruni? You stated your point of view well. We appreciate it. Representative Grunberg?
Yeah, I am coming to see what section... and does. It's not just a disclosure, it's a prohibition. And that goes beyond the other stuff. I can understand their concern.
I share that point of view. It limits discourse and separates the complexion of different business entities trying to grow the gross domestic product for the state of Alaska, and I'm afraid that Section 10 will inhibit commerce.
May I ask one question?
Representative Gruenberg.
This is a question to Mr. Dunning or anybody.
Now let's stay with Mr. Bruni. Let's.
Oh, because it was a legal question. I don't want to ask Mr. Bruni.
All right, we'll go back to Mr. Dunnigan. Is there any questions for Mr. Bruni? Oh, we have him on the line. Is Mr. Dunnigan still available?
Mr. Chairman, I don't believe he's on the line any longer.
I'll ask Mr. Bruni.
I'm assistant to Mr. Dunnigan. I could go get him if you would like.
Mr. Chair, I'll ask Mr. Bruni.
Representative Gruenberg, Mr. Bruni.
Yeah, and then you guys,
Representative Gruenberg,
through the chair, you can get together with Chuck or somebody can get back to us before tomorrow if that's okay with the chair. My question is there any precedent for stating that your basic argument is, as I understand it, that it's unconstitutional to deny this type of free expression, a prohibition against expenditures, to a company, a foreign national of this type? And I'm wondering if there is any precedent in court decision or statute or anything that would support that argument. And I don't need an answer now. I'd like it before tomorrow. Maybe somebody can get something to the committee in writing. My question is, do you have any precedent to support your position that it's unconstitutional?
Representative Gruenberg, through the chair, I will ensure that you have an answer to that question tomorrow.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mr. Bruni? I don't see any around the table. Jason, we thank you, and if you will notify Lorna Shaw or any of those that we lost on Wednesday, that we'd be delighted to take brief public testimony from them tomorrow morning at 10 to have their comments read into the record. We would appreciate that. Finally, Holly Hill, are you with us? And Holly.
Chairman Ramirez, this is Holly Hill, Executive Director of the Alaska Public Offices Commission. I'm simply on the line to answer any questions.
Thank you, Holly. And I wasn't sure because on the off-net site it says giant Y with questions next to it. So I didn't know whether you had remarks or whether you were just available to answer questions. Quickly, are there any questions? Representative Gruenberg has a question.
Yeah, I'm just going to say to Mr. Patterson that I'd ask you that same question I'm asking them on precedent.
Sir.
All right. So, members, we will adjourn for the day. We will reconvene tomorrow at 10 a.m. We will take public testimony as it's available from 10 and 10:30 till 10:30. Mm-hmm. We will probably go till noon, and then we will reconvene from 5 until 6:30. We will be adjourning at 6:30. I have a commitment at 6:30. And then we will, depending on where we are in our disposition, we will take things up on Sunday. For that, at 3:45, we're adjourned.